Now we're turning this morning to the book of Psalms, and we're going to read together Psalm 1. Let's turn and let's read together the short psalm, but it's a very important psalm, and we'll read together at verse 1. Psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. We'll end our reading there of Psalm 1. We look to the Lord to add his blessing upon. I want to begin today a short series and continue throughout the summer months from the book of Psalms, and I'm simply calling this little series Profiting from the Psalms. Lots of people are coming and going on holidays, some away to serve the Lord. So I just want to encourage our hearts and exhort us during these summer months together. I'm sure that if I asked you today what is one of your favorite books in Scripture, I'm sure that many of you would say, well, I really enjoy the book of Psalms. Many people do. It's a book that many of us are familiar with. It's a collection of songs, a collection of prayers and poetry. And through all of that, the psalmist on different occasions seeks to express the deepest passions of humanity. I would say that the book of Psalms is one of the most well-known and well-read books in the whole of the Bible. Someone has said this, and I quote, the Psalms lead us through the valleys and peaks of human experience, but in the end they guide us to the praise of our loving God. I want to turn your thoughts here to Psalm 1 today. And I believe that Psalm 1 comes to us with a tremendous challenge, especially in the days in which you and I are living. I hear people say often that it's very difficult to distinguish in today's world between those who are saved and those who are not. It's difficult to distinguish between those who belong to Jesus Christ and those who don't, those who claim to be Christians and those who are non-Christians. Well, of course, that should not be the case. Because if we turn here to Psalm 1, we can see that the psalmist makes a very clear distinction between the godly man and the ungodly man. You'll note their position before God is very different. You'll note that their pathway through life is very different. Their attitude to life is very different. And you'll note that their destination at the end of life is very different. So therefore, there ought not to be that difficulty in distinguishing between those who are Christians and those who are not. Or as the psalmist puts it, it shouldn't be a difficulty to distinguish between the godly man and the ungodly man. So look at Psalm 1 and see a contrast between two lifestyles. In this opening psalm, the psalmist paves the way, of course, for all that's to follow in the book of Psalms. Because he speaks about the way of blessedness for the saint of God. He speaks also about the way of destruction for the sinner. But we're going to concentrate solely on Psalm 1 today, and I want you to look at the picture of the godly man. Sometimes in the pathway of life, you meet people and you're talking together and the conversation gets to somebody or to something, and somebody will turn around and speak of somebody and say, well, you know, he is a real godly man. She is a real godly woman. But how do we know? How do we know? Do we know it because externally they look like that? Do we know because sometimes in Christian company they act in a certain way? How do we know? The best way to know is to look at their lives, your life, and my life in the light of God's word. Because Psalm 1 helps us to do that. It gives to us a picture of the godly man. Now you'll know from our reading today in Psalm 1 that the psalm falls nicely into two parts. The first three give us the picture of the godly man and the blessings he receives at the hand of God. Because this is true. When a man or a woman lives in obedience to God and lives according to God's word and according to God's way, that man or woman can expect the blessing of God upon them. But what do we read here of this picture of the godly man? Well, let me mention three things very quickly. Number one, notice walk. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, according to the psalmist, the walk of the godly man, first of all, is one of separation. That's a term we don't hear much about today in the world in which we live. It's a term that I heard much about as a young believer many years ago, and sometimes what I heard about it was more man-made than it was God said. But it's a biblical theme, and it's important that we understand it. The godly man's walk is one of separation. The psalmist says, he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. And thirdly, he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. What's he talking about? He's mentioning three important aspects about the godly man's walk. He's concerned about his company. He's concerned about his character. And he's concerned about his conduct. Many years ago when I was just saved, I remember coming out of a meeting, having gone to a tent mission to give him a testimony, just saved a couple of months. This elderly gentleman who's now in the glory, he came to me and he said to me, young Taylor, can I say something to you? I said, you may say what you wish. And he put his arm around me and he said to me, I want you to remember this. He says, somebody gave me this many years ago by way of advice. He says, I didn't take it. And he says, I failed badly spiritually. He says, you're just starting out in your Christian life. Make sure that you watch your company. Make sure you watch your company. The psalmist here is concerned about the godly man's company, about his character, about his conduct. He's not the kind of man who takes his lead from worldly men. He's careful about his company. He's careful about his conduct. He's careful not to do anything or to go anywhere that would bring God's name into disrepute. You'll note that there is a development here in the words the psalmist uses, because he talks about walking, standing, and sitting. He said to me, what does he mean by that? Well, let me give you a Bible character to illustrate it. Let me turn your thoughts for a moment to Lot. You remember Lot because Abram and Lot settled together after Abraham had returned from Egypt. You'll remember that God gave them many material blessings. They got bigger and richer until there was conflict within the family circle and a decision had to be made. And Abraham, the godly man that he was, he comes to Lot and he says, Lot, look, it can't go on like this. There's strife, there's dissension amongst us. He says, I'm going to give you the choice. You choose where you're going to go. And he said, when you've made your choice and you take your family and all your livestock and everything with you, I then will go and I'll go the other direction. And Abraham stood back and gave Lot the choice. You and I know that Lot made a worldly choice. Because he looked out over the well-watered plains of Sodom. And you and I know from the reading of Scripture that Lot made the wrong choice. Because he didn't consult God and he went on a downward trail after that, spiritually speaking. What do I mean? Well, at the beginning, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And he was soon in the company of wrong people. Very soon after that, he's at home in Sodom and he has made his home there amongst an ungodly people upon whom the judgment of God was soon going to fall. And worse than that, the next time you see him, he's a judge in Sodom. And he and his wife have to be dragged out of it when the judgment of God is soon to fall upon that place. You want a picture of a godly man who goes the wrong way? Take a look at Lot. He's described in Scripture as a righteous man. But he made a worldly choice and he made the wrong choice. Living in a place where God never intended him to be. A place where sin was abounding and he was living far from God. Beloved, your walk and mine today is so important. I'll tell you why. There are many reasons, but I'm just going to give you one. There are multitudes of people today who have absolutely no interest whatsoever of coming into this church or any other church, to this meeting or any other meeting. And the only person who is ever going to have an impact on that type of person is you and me. With those children of ours that sit around the table with us eating our meals, who listen to us with every word that comes out of our mouths, who look at us and want to see conduct that characterizes the gospel that we love, because there's no point in talking to them about the change that Christ can make in their lives if you and I are doing things that do not become the gospel of Christ. Those who don't come to church, those who don't know what a Bible is, the only person who will ever impact them is you and me. You in your small corner and I in mine. One of the things that has thrilled me, not just the folks who have been getting saved in the mission at Stuartstown, you know one of the things that has thrilled me? That some of the young people who have been testifying every night, two of them every night have testified, and some of them have only been saved for 5 months. One young lad the other night came to the front to testify. He looked down at an unsaved mum, dad, sister, brother, and aunts and uncles who had come. Not saved. Never had darkened the door of a gospel meeting. And he stood to tell them his faith in Christ meant something. But he said something that struck me. He said, you know, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I'm not perfect. And he said, I realized that when I got saved, I expected all my friends who were ungodly to understand that. And then he said, I realized this. He says, I should never expect, he says, sinners to live like Christians because they're not saved. But he says, God doesn't expect me as a Christian to live like a sinner, because I've got to show them that I'm different. Young man, see you 5 months? I thought that was a remarkable statement. Beloved, listen. We could spend all day in the walk, because it's so important to the world in which we live today. The walk of the godly man, he must be different. The godly woman, she must be different. If there's no difference, there's no impact the way that God wants it to be. His walk. What about his waiting? Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's the psalmist talking about the godly man's desire, not just for separation, but for meditation. Meditation. It's one of the lost arts in today's world, because it's a busy world. It's pleasure-filled, it's pressure-filled. Everybody today you talk to, well, not everybody, because some of you don't look stressed, but most other people, they talk about being stressed out. It's a pressure-filled world. And spiritually speaking, it's sometimes difficult for you, and it's difficult for me, to spend the time that's necessary meditating on the Word of God. Not just reading a little verse in the morning of daily notes, but sitting down with the Word of God and having spoken to God about who He is and what we need and how much we love Him, then to allow God to open up His Word to us and for God to speak to us and for us to digest that and then to seek the grace of God to apply that to everyday living. I love the picture the psalmist gives here. He speaks about the godly man taking time to wait on God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. It's the idea of eating and digesting. In the same way that a cow chews its cud, she takes her time and enjoys it. She sits there and she chews it time and time again, extracting all the flavor from it, and then to get the best out of it. And David says that the godly man or the godly woman does exactly the same with the Word of God. We're here this morning to worship the Lord. Let me ask you something. Did you read the Word of God before you left home this morning? Did you sit and meditate upon it to ask God to speak to you today, to encourage your heart, to challenge, to change you? Beloved, nobody needs to tell me today what it's like to chase your tail. And I know that all of us have lives that are busy, and sometimes it's a real battle. But if we don't take time with God and with His Word, we are not enjoying the blessings that God has in store for us. I said to a man the other day, he was retired and we were talking together, and I said, you know, I can't wait if I'm spared to get to your age. He says, what do you mean? Are you trying to insult me? I says, no. I says, just to get to your age, to be retired, that I can sit down and read and do this and that. Things I don't have time to do now, he says, catch yourself on. He said, I'm busier now than I've ever been. And then he went on to give me a long list of the children and the grandchildren, and this had to be done and that had to be done. And the reality is, it doesn't matter what age we are, there's always plenty to do. But one thing of great necessity, beloved, is this. And I'm not a pious saint, because I have my failures, and these are struggles that I have too. One thing that is of absolute necessity is to try to set aside time to be alone with God and with His Word. If you don't take time, you'll never make time. That's why we ought to pray today with the words of the hymn writer, "Oh, may these hallowed pages be my ever dear delight, and still new beauties may I see, and still increasing light. Divine instructor, gracious Lord, be thou forever near. Teach me to love thy sacred word, and view my Saviour there." His walk was one of separation. His waiting, one of meditation. Here's the third thing, his witness. I love these words. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." What a lovely picture that is. He has in his mind this picture of a tree, and it's there, standing at the edge almost of a river bank. And it's from the river that flows by that it draws out all its resources, everything that it needs to live. Everything that it needs to bear fruit. Everything that it needs to be beautiful, fruitful, and prosperous. And that's why it's so important that you and I take time to meditate on God's word and to draw from our resources in Christ. You see, this picture of the godly man, separation from the world, meditation upon the word, and then when he lives in obedience and draws from that for everyday living, he has fruit in abundance, and his life is a life that is a beauty to behold. I sometimes would love to know what my neighbors think of me. I'd be afraid to ask them sometimes. There are some of them, of course, that I've never had the opportunity to talk to about salvation because they're never there. They just seem to come and go and disappear almost like that. But then there are other times they're in the house and they see me and they watch me, and I wonder sometimes, is my life refreshing? Is my conversation Christ-like? Is my attitude something that stirs them or something that turns them off? Do you know what somebody said to me recently? Not from this church. A young person said, "You know something, most young people today, they don't have any problem with Christ. Most of their problems are with Christians. They don't have any problem with Christ. Most of their problems have been with Christians." Christians who are sour, bitter, critical, instead of Christians who are rich, refreshing, and rewarding to be in their company. Who's like that? I'll tell you a man in Scripture like that. He's an Old Testament character, and you read of him in Genesis 49. And Jacob pronounces upon his sons his blessings, and he blesses them one by one. He refers to them as the kind of people that they were. Some of what he said was encouraging, and some of what he said cut them down to size. Then along comes Joseph. And here's what Jacob said. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches reach over the wall." I've often thought about that picture of Joseph, and I've come to this conclusion. What was Jacob saying about his son? He says of Joseph that he was a man whose life was rich, a man whose life was refreshing, a man whose life was reaching out. Joseph would have been that kind of man. You'd have been glad to be in his company. It shames me to say this, but it's sometimes true, that some Christians tell me that they actually find it easier to have fellowship with some ungodly people than they do with God's people. That's a tragedy. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit. Hearts that full surrender know that the streams of living waters from our inner man may flow. The picture of the godly man. What a picture. Will God make me that kind of man? The second thing is the picture of the ungodly man, very quickly. Because there's a contrast drawn here, and we wouldn't be honest with the word of God nor the psalm if we didn't say this in closing. You see, there's a contrast between the godly man and his life of blessedness and the ungodly man and his life of destruction. And note two things about him. Note his character. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. What a negative description that is. Everything that the godly man is, the ungodly man isn't. And what a sad picture it is. He's giving us a picture of a life that is worthless, dead, without substance. A life that has no root. A life that has no lasting value. A life that is easily swept away. It's like chaff which the wind driveth away. Friend, that's a picture today of the ungodly man or the ungodly woman, and maybe that's a picture of your life. They have no fruit. They have no purpose in life. They have no stability. They have no direction. They have no spiritual vitality. Their life is worthless, and any life that is lived without God is like that. It doesn't matter if you're a religious person. It doesn't matter if you enjoy coming to these meetings. Doesn't matter if you're respectable and full of self-righteousness. I tell you, without God today, your life is worthless. Worthless. No value, no direction. But the tragedy is this. It's going to end with terrible consequences. For if you note here his character, that's the ungodly man. Look at his condemnation, verse 5 and 6. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly man must not just consider his life. He must consider the end of his life, because his destiny is different than that of the godly man. What do you mean? Simply this. Do you see, the godly man who has lived according to the word of God and lived in the will of God and who has been blessed of God, you see, when life is over, he's going to be taken. And he's going to be taken home to glory, and he's going to be blessed abundantly for the countless ages of eternity. That's what he has to look forward to. You see, the Bible talks about death being the last enemy, but beloved Christian, this morning, although it's an enemy that we have to face, it's not one to be feared. The godly man has a wonderful future to look forward to. Blessed of God now and received by God in the future. But not so the ungodly man. Because the ungodly man or woman shall perish. They'll reap the rewards of their sin. They'll be condemned for all of eternity. They cannot enter the congregation of the righteous, and therefore they cannot ever see heaven. And I'm going to ask you this morning, you might not see yourself as an ungodly man, but if you're not a Christian, the psalmist says you're ungodly. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. When life has run its course for you, man or woman, and it comes to this great thing called eternity, where will you be? Where will you be? Because what the psalmist says here doesn't simply refer to life, it refers also to death and the great eternity to come. You're either saved or lost. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. You're either numbered amongst the godly or the ungodly. And that's something you need to remember. But here's the thing, if you're not saved today, there is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. You don't have to stay in the ungodly camp and allow sin to ravage you and ruin you and then one day condemn you. You could come in repentance today and trust Christ as your Savior. And you could start out for heaven and home. And come what may and come what must, it matters not. Because you know that heaven awaits you. What a contrast between two lifestyles. Psalm 1. The walk of the godly man, blessed of God and bound for heaven. The walk of the ungodly man under condemnation and bound for hell. I just ask you this morning, which group do you belong to? Which way are you living? And which destination are you heading for? Because there's a big difference, a great contrast in these two lifestyles. May God help us today to understand His word.